If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy it is to greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worth Baptist Church takes pleasure in bringing to you the gospel of redeeming grace and in sharing Christ right in your home. On this Lord's Day, I trust that you've included the church and the Lord Jesus in your plans. The most important thing you can do today is to honor God by worshiping Christ in the church. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we give to you a cordial invitation to come and worship God with us. We invite you to study the Word of God in our Sunday school, which begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level, and it would be our joy to have you come and study the Word of God with us today in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. These services, we believe, will be a blessing to your heart. You will discover a friendly and a spiritual atmosphere in which to worship God. So come today, bring the whole family, and worship God with us at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Worth Baptist Church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287, and by Loop 820. Come today and share with us the good things of the Lord, discovering a new dimension in worship as you share Christ with us in the Sunday school and in the services of worship today at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we would also like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Write today, and we would be happy to know that the broadcast is a blessing to your heart. We're not asking you to send any money to support this broadcast. We simply want to know that you hear it and that it blesses your heart. So write us today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Look Who's Begging Now. I shall read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verse 22. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for the opportunity to serve Christ. We thank Thee for the privilege of preaching the gospel, and we would ask that as today's broadcast goes into the hearts and homes and lives of the multiplied thousands who listen, may many come to know Christ, and may this broadcast cause us all to recognize that without Thee, we're lost and undone in this world. Bless those who cannot attend church today, but who have illnesses and problems and difficulties that prevent their getting out. May this broadcast be a special blessing to them, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, at verse 22, we read these words. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I have read to you one verse that summarizes the story of two fascinating men. While they lived in another day, and in another country, and in another culture, they could well be living in our city and in our culture and in our time. In fact, you may be one of those men today listening to this broadcast. This is a true story. It is a story told by the master storyteller himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the story of two men who lived and died under two separate sets of circumstances and who ended up in two different places. One man was poor, the other was rich. One man was a beggar, the other could have been a benefactor. One man made headlines on earth, the other made headlines in heaven. One was called on to remember, the other didn't have to be told to forget. One man's suffering ended at death, while the other man's suffering began at death. One had security on earth, and the other had security in heaven. One died and went to hell. The other died and went to heaven. One begged in time, and the other begged in eternity. Look who's begging now. That's the title of my message. And there are in this story some basic lessons set forth for us to learn. First of all, we learn the truth about man's selfishness. Selfishness has been the ruination of many a good man. Someone has noted, a man wrapped up in himself makes a mighty small package. And he was right who said, a man in love with himself has very little competition. Now, I'm not saying that you go to hell because you're rich, or that you go to heaven just because you're poor. Such is not the case. It isn't the state of your pocketbook that determines your destiny. It's the state of your heart. The wise Solomon said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The apostle Paul said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Listen again to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, the dogs came and licked the beggar's sores. This was the only medical care he had. Think about this for a moment. If man had simple animal sense, he would go God's way. God didn't have to coerce the animals to enter the ark to escape the flood. He only spoke to them once. The lions in the den with Daniel obeyed God on the very first call. A bird submitted itself to God's will and brought a full course meal to Elijah in his escape from a bloodthirsty woman named Jezebel. A whale gave Jonah a ride to accomplish God's purpose for a whole nation. A mule crushed a prophet's foot against a wall to prevent him from disobeying God. A rooster crowed to remind Peter of his cowardice. And the Bible says, a dog licked the sores of the beggar. Why then would a man's heart be so hard and his will so stubborn? The answer is written on the pages of the Bible, and it is written on the flyleaf of human experience. The answer is summed up in one word, and that word is selfishness. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day, while a beggar wasted away at his gate, asking only for the crumbs that fell from his table. This is the essence of selfishness, and selfishness has ruined many a man. A second lesson we need to learn from this story is the truth about death. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 at verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. In the book of Genesis chapter 5, we read the story of the generations of Adam. And after every man's name and the number of years that he lived, are written these words, and he died. 8 times, the writer says, and he died. Rich men die as well as poor men. Young men die as well as the old. The good die as well as the bad. The unsaved die as well as the saved. The selfish die as well as the unselfish. The healthy die, as well as the sick. The politicians die, as well as the voters. The entertainers die, as well as the audiences. The educated die, as well as the ignorant. The civilized die, as well as the uncivilized. The strong die, as well as the weak. Listen again to verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and the rich man died also. I repeat, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The rich man couldn't bribe death. His influence stopped just before he got to the undertaker. He probably didn't even get a good deal on his casket. You know, as a rule, men die as they live. This philosophy is set forth in the Bible. Jesus himself said, "They that take the sword shall die with the sword." So men usually die just like they live. Two classic examples of this. One is King Saul, the man who disobeyed God. And when he came down to the end of his life, just before he committed suicide, King Saul said, "I have played the part of a fool." And every man plays the part of a fool who disobeys God and leaves Christ out of his life. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, who obeyed God and lived for Christ, said, just before he was offered as a martyr on the Roman chop block, "I have kept the faith." Now, which will you say? Are you a fool? You are a fool if you're leaving God out of your life. Every man plays the part of a wanton fool who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And death is coming, and judgment is coming. Death is a common denominator. Death levels all men. Notice again what Jesus said. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He had angels for pallbearers. And then Jesus said, and the rich man died and was buried. The 18th century English poet Thomas Gray said, and I quote, "The paths of glory lead but to the grave." And how true it is. All men are dying. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. To one man in my text, death meant a glorious release. To the other man, death meant a gruesome ordeal. He was right who said, "A man's concept of death determines his philosophy of life." The rich man could have had a far different life, and he could have died a far different death. He could have found life in feeding the poor, and in clothing the naked, and in caring for the destitute. Instead, he wrapped himself in his purple, filled his own stomach, and locked the gates to his worldly estate. Say, what will the record say about you? Will a band of angels carry you on their snowy wings to yonder's world and eternal home in the heavens? Or will they simply bury you? One man can die wrapped in purple and be rotten on the inside, while another man can die full of sores on the outside and be clean as ivory on the inside. Billy Graham tells the story of a young college girl fatally injured in an automobile accident. Just before she died, her last words to her mother were these, "Mother, you taught me everything I needed to know to get by in college. You taught me how to light my cigarette. You taught me how to hold my cocktail glass. You taught me how to handle the pill. But Mother, you never taught me how to die. You had better teach me quickly, Mother, for I'm dying now." Yes, we need to learn the lesson about death. Listening to this broadcast right now, you may be only seconds away from death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Then there's a third lesson we need to learn, and that's the truth about justice. God's justice cannot be limited to this life. There is another world, whether you want to believe it or not. And God is in no hurry. He has all eternity to pay. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:24, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." In my text, there's a classic example of what Paul wrote. One man begged for bread in this world, the other man begged for water in the next. As long as God lives, there will be an evening up process. When you look around you, it might appear that the rogue is doing well and the good man is not faring so well. It seems sometimes the good men get all the raw deals. And you know the psalmist thought the same thing, and he wrote about it in Psalm 73. He despaired because of the prosperity of the wicked. But then his philosophy was changed because he wrote, "I thought that the wicked were prospering and they were better off than I was, and I had believed in vain until I went into the sanctuary, until I went to church and learned of their final end. The final end of the wicked is hell and eternal separation without God." Jesus pulls back the curtain of eternity. Listen to his words in verses 24 and 25. "And he cried," that is the rich man, "and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." The key word is remember. Son, remember. Look who's begging now. I'd rather beg on this side the grave than on the other. Don't think you're getting by with anything, mister. God is keeping books today. If you shut God out of this life, He will shut you out of the world to come. Justice must prevail, and prevail it will. Then there's another lesson that we should learn from this story, and that is this: there is no second chance. Changes that are going to be made must be made on this side the grave. Don't wait until you die to get right with God. It'll be too late then. If you want to go to heaven when you die, you'll have to have some heaven in you while you live. Do you suppose the rich man made a will before he died? We don't have the answer to that question, but we can be certain of one thing. It seems he tried to make one after he reached eternity, after he was in hell. He said in so many words, "I'd like to contribute something to the gospel. I'd like to warn my family. I'd be in favor of sending Lazarus as a missionary." You know, there'll be a lot of people in hell with a missionary spirit, but it'll be too late then. Now they say the church is begging. In hell, they will beg. Look who's begging now. You see, people who never have a dime to give to Christ and to the church and to missions while on earth, they'll change their mind when they get to hell. Look who's begging now. The rich man is begging for a miracle. But the only miracle that God ever performed to save men was the miracle of Calvary and the miracle of the empty tomb. Take a tip from this preacher. You'd better do your begging on this side of the grave. You'd better support the church now. You'd better have a missionary spirit now. You'd better call for a cup of water now. You'd better be saved now. You had best live for Christ now, because one day it will be too late. There's one final lesson that we need to learn, and that is this. There is a great gulf that separates heaven from hell. Man has bridged many gulfs. He's bridged the gulf between earth and the moon, and someday man will bridge the gulf between earth and Mars and perhaps other planets. But there's one gulf that man cannot bridge. All of his scientific know-how, all of his ingenuity, all of his wisdom, all of his power, all of his learning cannot enable him to bridge the gulf between heaven and hell. Remember, Jesus said, "There is a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell." There aren't enough devils in hell to keep you out of heaven if you really want to go. And on the other hand, there aren't enough angels in heaven to keep you out of hell if you die without Christ. And there aren't enough of both to take you from one place to the other once you're dead. I repeat, there aren't enough angels nor devils to take you from one place to another, from heaven to hell or hell to heaven, after you're dead. All the changes that you're going to make must be made now. If you're going to be saved, you need to be saved now. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now is the time for you to come and trust Jesus Christ as your own Savior. I have a footnote, and then I shall be through. If you don't beg for mercy now, you will beg for mercy when you get to hell. I trust that you would beg now for God's mercy. Cry out for God's help. Call upon the name of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved this moment. I trust that you'll do it right now and write us about it this week. May the Lord bless you as you open the door of your heart and as you let Jesus Christ come in. Don't forget, if you do not beg for mercy now, you'll beg for it in a Christless eternity where the flame is never quenched and where the fires of hell burn forever. Don't let that be your lot. Come to Christ now, and may God bless you as you do. Until next Lord's Day, at the same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.